You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. To my loyal listeners, this is episode number 9. But this is our second time airing on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Special shout out to everybody over there. Everybody that showed love on our debut last week. Girls Beer Sports Podcast. Chris and Lou at Scout Team. Definitely appreciate you guys. I also got some family in the building with me today. I get tired of talking to myself. I got a former college teammate of mine, somebody who has stayed close to the game since our college days, having worked in the coaching ranks. In fact, he's taken his coaching talents all the way over to China, spent the last 18 months in China. So if you see them capture the gold in the Olympics in a couple of years, it's because he was giving away all of our secrets. Shout out to my man, Steven Arzu. Steven, what up, brother?
Yes, sir, bro. Thanks for having me, man.
I'm excited to have you here. Definitely going to go heavy on college basketball. Heavy college basketball. And, of course, the story of the weekend was the big upset, UMBC, the Retrievers from Baltimore County, beating the number one overall seed in the Virginia Cavaliers. Now, that is something that we have never seen happen before. And we've talked about this tournament. It's about guard play, guard play, guard play. And that night, UMBC had the superior guards led by Jarius Lyles, a name I didn't know before that game, but I damn sure knew it afterwards. The young man had 28 points, going to the basket at will, finishing with the offhand, the left, the right. We seen him knock down open shots. We seen him knock down contested shots. And I believe in the whole psychological aspect of the game. You know, in order to accomplish something, you must first believe it. And those young men walked in believing that, yo, we about to shock the world. Now, I don't know if it was something they seen on film or something that coach talked about in practice, but they believed they were going to shock the world. Yo, Steve, you ever been laid up with a pretty girl and she's like, yo, can you believe we just did that? And I'm sitting there like, yup.
I believed.
I've been planning that since day one, since the first time I shook your hand. Right. There's no surprises. It's not by accident. So definitely shout out to the Golden Retrievers. Steven, just talking about UMBC, we could get into Virginia in a second. What did you think of their performance and what they did?
Man, UMBC, like you said, they went into the game believing they belong. You know, first of all, Jarius Lyles is a high major player.
Yeah.
That's a high major player. People don't know he was going to transfer out of UMBC and go look for a bigger school, you know, so he can make a name for himself. A lot of us didn't know who he was before this game. They went into the game with a plan. They stuck to their plan. Their offense was clicking. They made shots. That kid is tough, man. He was cramping up. He coming in and out of the game. He goes back in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's doing his thing.
He was battling cramps. I seen him over there, like, sucking on salt crackers, trying to get back. But, right. Steve, I know you were going hype because my man Steven played point guard. When you seen him going to the rack with the left and the right, finishing.
Man, Jarius Lyles, he definitely going to get some looks, man. The NBA going to come calling.
He got to get some looks out there.
He going to get some workouts in the league, man. He going into the game, going left and right. He cramping. He got the flow of the game going. He knocking down threes, beating Virginia off the dribble. And to my surprise, the game was lost for Virginia on the defensive end. You know, that's what they known for. And he just broke down their defense, possession after possession. He was also getting guys involved. He played a hell of a game, man. Shout out to UMBC. They deserve to win.
Yes, they definitely did. Now, with Virginia, the broadcast, it panned to Virginia's coach, Coach Bennett, a few times, and I thought his look said it all. He wasn't angry. He didn't seem shocked or surprised. He just kind of had this smirk on his face, like, you know what? They got us tonight, guys. They got us. They were the better team tonight. In fact, his look said to me, yo, the jig is up. Our cover's been blown. We were able to convince the country that we were the world's number one team, but we're not the best team. You know, we had a couple of great young athletes who were able to put together a stellar season. We're not head and shoulders above any team, you know. So I found that look interesting. Because most coaches like to default to, yo, they wanted it more than us, or my team's not playing hard enough. No, you can't go there on the national tournament. Your guys want it. Okay? Your guys want it. It just so happened that they didn't really know how to figure it out, and they got beat. And one of their leading scorers, Mr. Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome is a New York City product. In fact, I used to help organize some high school exposure events, and Ty Jerome headlined a few of those events for us. He was a tough young kid. But when I heard he was going to Virginia, I was like, I don't know, man. That might be a little tough for him. Because when I'm thinking of ACC basketball, I'm thinking of Jay Williams at Duke. I'm thinking of Jerry Stackhouse at UNC, Ray Felton, Marcus Paige, Shane Larkin at Miami. Some guards that could really get it off the dribble, create their own shot at will. I didn't think those were strengths for Ty Jerome. And in that basketball game, he was relied upon to do a lot of facilitating, carry the scoring load, and I don't think that's where he's best suited.
Right.
Now, he's done a great job in his 2 years, but I don't think that situation in the national tournament where we've seen guys like Kemba Walker come through and tear it up, Shaz Napier, I don't think that environment was best suited for Mr. Ty Jerome and the Virginia Cavaliers. Steve, what did you think of Virginia's performance? And talk to me about the young man that they lost to injury.
DeAndre Hunter.
How big a role did that play?
Man, in the conference tournament, DeAndre Hunter was playing with a lot of confidence. You know, he's what a lot of people believe is their best NBA prospect. He's 6'7", he's athletic. He plays both ends of the floor with a lot of confidence. So for him to go down at that time, it was a big loss for them.
And especially, you know, and Virginia, they seemed a little bit stagnant on the offensive end. He's somebody that could go get his own shot off the dribble at times, right?
Right. He's athletic. He'll beat you off the dribble. He gets on the board. He's good. And he'll be back next year. He should be back next year. I believe he's an underclassman. So, you know, Ty Jerome, he's one of their guys, their main guy. So is Kyle Guy. And they're both returning, and they'll be good next year. And they'll be back in the tournament, and it'll just be a learning experience.
Now, you said Virginia lost the game on a defensive end. Why weren't they able to get better opportunities at the basket? Has that been a struggle for them all year? What did you see that night?
Jarius Lyles. I mean, sometimes when you're a basketball player, you just got to leave it on the floor, man. Sometimes your coach can't save you, your mom in the stands, your fan base can't save you. You just got to bring it. And if you're making shots, if you're taking your guy off the dribble, if you're getting guys involved, if you're hungry and you believe you belong there, things will go well for you. And that night, in a one-game elimination tournament, it went UNBC way.
Yo, I like what you said there. I asked you about Virginia. Your response was, yo, Jarius Lyles. Sometimes it's not about a team losing the game. It's just about a young man taking over the game and just being a superior player. That's what we saw that night.
That's exactly what he did. I did a little bit of research on Jarius Lyles, and I seen that he went to a really good school too. So he's been coached well. He played with some NBA guys and
a really good school. You referring to high school?
Yes, high school. DeMatha.
DeMatha
out in that's in the DMV area, so yeah. We're not exactly sure where it's at.
So he got that pedigree.
He got that pedigree. The Grant brothers, one plays for the Thunder.
Oh, Jerry and Grant.
Right.
Okay. They went there too, right?
Right. They were on his team.
Oh wow.
They have a lot of high major guys on that DeMatha team every year. So he's been well coached and he's prepared for the big games.
He came out and shocked the world. Shocked the world.
Golden Retrievers, man.
That was phenomenal.
Great, great game.
But another New York City product and team, well, Mr. Raleigh Atkins. We've seen him tear up the high school scene. He plays for Arizona. Arizona suffered a big loss this weekend as well. Yo, I'm done with Sean Miller and that coach, man. I'm really done, huh? How much talent do you have? He has, what's the kid's name? DeAndre Ayton, who we believe might be the number one pick in the draft. Yep, he had Lauri Markkanen in the past. He's had all these players year after year. It's just underachieving after underachieving.
Right. Two out of the last 3 years, they lost first round, if I'm not mistaken.
Enough is enough. And now he has these freaking NCAA violations swirling around him. Get him the freak out of here. I always say there's no shame in losing. The biggest crime is not maximizing your potential. Hmm. And at Arizona, a program that has won a national tournament in the past,
right,
for him to not even sniff a Final Four year after year, it's a travesty. You got the money, you got the boosters, you got the donors, you got the facilities. What's up? How much more does he need? It's time for a fresh start over there in Arizona. But let's talk about the game.
Man, that game was another goodie, man.
Oh, Buffalo.
Buffalo brought it to them. You know what? Watching the first couple of minutes of the game, I said it's going to be a good one. Because they were pressuring the ball nonstop. And those Buffalo guys just seemed to be in such great shape. I mean, they were denying. They were getting under the dribble. And it was hard to get eight in the ball. So what happens is he started coming out to the perimeter trying to get some shots. And they call that being aggressive. I mean, you're going to be number one overall pick. You 7'1", 250. You got to get under there and posterize somebody, you know?
Right.
So Buffalo played great defense. Again, one game elimination, let the best team win. And that night, Buffalo was the best team. They wore Arizona down, and they stuck to their game plan. When Aiden did get the ball, the double team came quickly. They were clicking on all cylinders that day. They were making threes. And, again, the best team won that night, you know?
That night. You talked about the pressure that Buffalo applied. In the college game with so many changing parts every year with the one-and-done guys, I think teams that pressure have the advantage because these young point guards, these young teams, they haven't had time to really work on handling the pressure, handling somebody in your face 90 feet.
Right.
And I think that was actually the story of the tournament this week. And a few teams have been able to sneak by with that pressure. West Virginia caused a lot of havoc, turning guys over. How to combat the press? How do teams, these young teams, how do you help them get through it?
It's tough, man. You can't really replace experience. And for a lot of these big schools, they get big-name players who are one and done. You know, that leaves you with young guys, and young guys going to get exposed. You have seniors who want to live to play another day.
Right.
You know, so they're going to bring it all. When you go into college, you always dream of Final Four, whether you playing D3, D2, D1. You're dreaming of Final Four. You know, we grew up watching March Madness, and if you get a chance to get there, man, you're gonna do what you got to do. You're going to leave it all on the floor. And for when you're young, when you're a freshman or a sophomore, you need a little bit of experience. And it's hard for a senior to go down to some freshmen. They bring it all, man. I mean, it's the best basketball you're going to catch this in, you know, throughout the season. Guys that hungry to get to the next level, live to play another day, they leaving it all out there.
Right.
They're giving it all, man. They're giving it all. And that's the beauty of this sport. At this time of March, it's one game. I don't care about your name. When we step in that arena, I'm trying to take you down. It's a bullfight.
Now, there are a lot of potential NBA draft picks who are no longer playing in the tournament. Okay, we got DeAndre Ayton, who might be number one. Trae Young from Oklahoma, he just came out today, said he's going to declare for the draft. Mm. The young man from Texas, Bamba. Colin Sexton from Alabama, Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri. Now, we all know these are talented young men, but they haven't been able to excel a team throughout the tournament. But there's no doubt they're going to go on and have big-time professional careers. How would you explain to somebody the difference between the college game and the professional game? They're both basketball, but how come these young men can't will a team to victory in college, but next year we're going to see them averaging 20, 25 points. Similar to what happened with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons couldn't even get in the tournament, and now he's up for Rookie of the Year. How would you explain the difference between the NCAA game and the NBA?
The NBA is the highest level on the planet, you know, for basketball. I mean, when you're in college, you're relying. You can't beat these other teams by yourself. You know, you're relying on other guys that may not be NBA potential. They may not be as good as you. They may go play overseas, but they're not as good as you are. And you need help. I mean, the NBA is just another level. For a lot of these guys, they will go on and have great professional careers. The NBA is a faster pace. You know, guys are more athletic. They're bigger. You can't really compare the two. It's just a whole nother level. It's just a whole nother level.
My little explanation, I felt the NBA is the highest form of basketball. It's the hardest level to get to.
Right.
But I think it's one of the easiest brands of basketball to play. Okay? The NCAA and college basketball to me is like chess.
Right.
When the NBA is just checkers. And what I mean by that, in the NCAA, you got zone defenses.
Right.
So when you get past your man, you staring at 2-3 more defenders.
Right.
But in the NBA, if you go past your man, the likelihood is you going straight to the rim.
Right.
So for a lot of people, I think that's a struggle at times. You know, it's kind of like a little, you got to think the game a little bit more in college with these zone defenses, right, with these presses, also the 5-second count. So somebody who's ball dominant, they can't just dribble the ball all day. They have to move it, have to pass it.
Right.
But in the NBA, if you're an athlete, right, there's a place for you on the floor. As I mentioned, Ben Simmons, he struggled in college, but now he's on pace to be NBA Rookie of the Year. Zach LaVine couldn't even get off of UCLA's bench.
Mm.
And now he's putting up 30 in the league.
Yep.
So that's how I would explain the difference between the two leagues. That's why we've seen these young guys, these young stars who we know are going to be great pros, haven't been able to kind of propel their teams in the college ranks. And we have a bunch of senior-laden teams still fighting.
Right.
Because they are two totally different games.
Right. Also, you know, coming from high school, a lot of these guys, they do what they want.
Right.
You know, they're really good players. They may have bad habits. So when you get to college and you have defensive schemes that are set up to stop you, it's an adjustment. You know, like you said, it's two different levels. If you're a good athlete in the NBA, you go to the basket, you get a dunk. In college, you're getting hit by another two or three defenders before you get to the basket.
Yep. Sometimes you feel like you're playing against four guys by yourself.
Right.
But yo, there is something that I wanted to address that gets on my nerves. After a big time loss in the NCAA tournament, the wound is fresh. Mm. You're in the locker room. The media comes in, and you say, yo, I'm going to declare for the NBA draft. Yo, Steve, that's a punk move to me. And I'm going to tell you why. If you are an NBA draft prospect and you're fortunate to go into the league, that's great. But right now, you're in the trenches with your team. You came in that stadium, that city, with your team. So to say, yo, I'm going to the NBA when the rest of those guys don't have that privilege, that's dismissive and disrespectful.
I agree.
And it's also cowardly because you have that hurt, you have that pain and that embarrassment from that big-time loss. So instead of taking that all in, you want to run to the next great feeling.
Mm.
And that's like, yo, I'm going to the NBA draft, man. Where's my agent? Where's my private jets? Where's that life? No. That's selfish. No. Embrace those failures, young man. Don't run from it.
Right.
Your teammates don't have the luxury of going to the next level and putting on a nice shiny jersey with their name on the back. For some of them, this college basketball is the end. So don't hijack that spotlight.
Mm.
DeAndre Ayton did it this week, and I was pissed off. Lonzo Ball did it last year when he suffered that loss. There's a time for that. You see Trae Young, he waited. He waited until the moment has passed. You got time to declare for the NBA draft. Right now, it's about your team and your school. And don't separate yourself from anybody else. Y'all all lost together. Stay there. Stay in that pot. Nobody, you're not better than anybody else. They asked the Texas kid, and he was like, yo, I'm not even there right now. Right now, it's about we just suffered a devastating loss.
Right.
When I was with the Yankees last year, we had got bounced from the playoffs. It was the American League Conference Championship. So shortly after that, the Yankees let go of their coach. Now, the MLB has a rule. During the World Series, y'all not making any announcements. Y'all not holding any press conferences as to not take from the World Series.
Right.
Y'all got the rest of the offseason to do that. So I feel the same way about these college announcements. That's selfish and cowardly. You got the rest of the offseason. Right now, step up to the mic and say, damn, we just failed. We just lost. Nobody cares about where you going personally after this. That's unfair.
You said he wants the next great feeling. You know what I attribute that to? It starts young, man.
Yeah.
It starts with this AAU stuff. You know, a lot of these kids, they grow up so privileged. When you're good, everyone wants a piece of you. Everyone wants a piece of you. What happens? Oh, it's not working out with this coach. I'm going to Riverside.
Right.
It's not working out at Riverside. I'm going to New Heights. No, Arenz.
Running back and forth from the AAUs, yeah.
Who got the sponsors? I'm going there. Kids, and they're not the only ones to blame. You got to blame coaches, parents. You know, they don't take responsibility. They don't take responsibility. They want the next great feeling. So we see it at the college level, but it starts younger than that. It starts younger. You have kids that don't take the SATs. It gets swept under the rug.
Yeah. Right.
It starts earlier than college, and I don't know exactly what the solution is, but until we can figure it out, it's always going to be prevalent in this game. You know? So
you're right. These young folks, they can't face adversity.
They can't. Can't. Then you get to the league, you're a millionaire. You're going to mess up there too. What you going to do? You're going to have $1 million. You're going to go to Miami and blow it and get in trouble. You know,
it always catches up to them.
It's always catching up.
But yo, Steve, what else stuck out to you from this past weekend? Syracuse is still around, which we did not see.
Expect that one. That's going to be a good one with Duke on Friday.
What do you make of Syracuse? Because, yo, I apologize, but this we are some New Yorkers. The Big East was our conference.
I was torn, man.
UConn, Syracuse, St. John's, Georgetown.
Seton Hall.
And then Syracuse ends up in the ACC? Yo, I was heartbroken, son. I had to take a few years off from college basketball after that. What you mean Syracuse ain't going to be in the Garden for the Big East tournament? What?
Right.
And then they kind of just fell off the map after that. They went to the ACC.
Right.
Not really kicking up any dust, but here, Jimmy Boeheim.
Garden games.
Jimmy Boeheim got him back in the Sweet 16. What do you make of that team?
Man, Boeheim is a great coach. He's a great coach. He's one of the most winningest coach in the game. Syracuse, they're just doing what they do. Like, sometimes you have that big name lottery pick.
Right.
I don't think Syracuse has that.
Nope.
You know, that makes your team stick together a little more. You got to depend on each other a little more. Everyone has to step up to the plate and be the best player at your role. You know, do your job 100% of the time with 100% effort, and you guys will be okay. So I think that's what's going on with Syracuse, and I'm not really surprised they're still in it, man. You know, like we discussed, a lot of these young guys, they can't really lead a team. They can't really lead a team. Syracuse they have experience, they're well coached, and they got to stick together due to the fact that they don't have this lottery pick on their team.
Right. So that 2-3 zone is still causing havoc out there, huh?
It's causing havoc. They play high, they have length up there, they're talking. Boeheim is doing his job on the sideline, screaming, going crazy. It's exciting to see that. And for a lot of teams, they can't mimic that in practice.
The length of the 2-3 zone, the activity of the 2-3 zone.
Yes, they can't mimic it in practice.
Because I think a lot of people believe playing a zone is lazy.
No.
But you can play an active, in-your-face type zone, and that's what Syracuse has been able to do.
Right, right, right. So they're having success with it. Sweet 16 for them, man. Syracuse. I got to root for the New York team, man. I'm a city guy, but whenever New York is doing well, man, That's good for sports in general. This is a big market.
Now, you mentioned Jimmy Boeheim and the job that he's done. Now, I want to reiterate, my man Stephen Osworth stayed very close to the game, coaching at the youth level. If you're from New York City, you familiar with the Riverside Church and the program that they've had. Stephen has worked closely there. And as I said, he's also taking his coaching talents to China, working out over there. Now, I believe in leadership. I believe that it can make a difference in a team, whether that be sports or a corporation or anything. But I want you to talk to me about how important is coaching at this level, college. how much is of a difference is there between Coach K and the coach of Loyola Chicago? How big a difference is coaching?
Coaching makes a big difference. Coaching makes a big difference. Here's why. Because coaching is not just X's and O's. Yes, you need the X's and O's because you want to get guys in a position to do well, to succeed. However, coaching is also me telling you, hey, Will, let's go, man, let's go. You can do this. There's a clip on, I think you can find it on YouTube. I might have come across it on Instagram, but however, even at the professional level, you see Steve Kerr cheering on Steph Curry when he's missing all those 30-foot shots, right. You know? So in college, you're dealing with teenagers. You're dealing with 18, 19-year-old young men, and you got to get them going. NCAA time, the pressure might be too much.
Right.
You know? They may feel like, I'm not ready for this. I can't perform. They know they're on TV. The world is watching. You got to get that young man ready to go mentally as well as physically and emotionally. You got to be there.
So you it's not even just X's and O's. You got to be a therapist, a dad, a brother.
You got to be all of that for 12, 15 different personalities.
Right.
You know, that's a great coach. You could do the X's and O's. Yeah, it's important. But if a kid don't feel right going out, then you have to feel good to play good. And that's a coach's job. That's the biggest part of being a coach, really.
Right.
You know, some therapy work. With that being said, you do need those guys that's going to go out there and get the job done, man. You need those studs.
You need the players.
But we see studs get bouncing in the first round. So it's a little bit of everything.
So it's really about – so as a coach, you have to be a understand who each player is. You
got to
do a lot of examining.
Right. Know what gets him going, knows what shuts him down. You know when he needs a break. Like, you know, just go sit down for 5 minutes. Come back in. You have to know your personnel.
Who you think's the best doing it now in the NCAA? I know you were a Rick Pitino guy.
Ooh.
I know you were a Louisville Rick Pitino guy, but he's at the house right now without a job. Who you think does the best job of the balancing act, the juggling act of personalities, getting in guys' face, patting guys on the back?
I got to give it to Calipari right now. He does it with 18, 19-year-old young men every year. His team's always switching, and he gets them to play. And for you to get a top-five recruit to come partner with another top-five recruit, I think that's a big deal because these guys have been the man all their life.
Right.
Why would I want to go partner up with you? Why do I want to share the spotlight with you?
Why would I want to partner with another player? Right.
Why would I want to share the spotlight with you when that's not what they're taught to do? No one's telling them to sacrifice, really. You know, that's Calipari doing that. And he gets one of the dumb players every year. And there was a clip on ESPN where he's talking about a particular young man from New York City, Hamadou Diallo, who's been struggling.
Right.
And he goes in and he says, I'm going to go with Diallo because if that was just son, do you want me to put him on the bench because he's not playing well?
Right.
So I think he let the media know, like, I care about them, you know, even if they're not struggling. However, if you can't really help, I'm going to bench you, but I'm going to give you the opportunity. I won't forget about you. And this is a young man who could have went lottery last year because the NBA fell in love with him at the combine.
Wow.
You know, his measurements, his length, his athleticism. But he went back to school, and things didn't pan out that great for him. Calipari cares, and he's touching those kids, man. There's a reason why they go to Calipari. So that's my choice.
Calipari never been my flavor. I thought he always made excuses for his team. You know, we talk about the juggling act. I don't feel he's ever kind of held his team to a standard. If they lose a big game, he says, yeah, well, they're young. Like, there's too many excuses coming out of there. But as you mentioned, like you said, he gets a lot of talented guys to buy in. I think he had Anthony Davis over there averaging 9 points for a season.
Oh.
And that now Anthony Davis is tearing up the league.
Yeah.
Kentucky got K-State this week. How's that looking, man? What do you think of that matchup?
Ooh. That's going to be a goodie, man. I'm going to go K-State. I like Calipari. I'm going to go K-State.
K-State over Kentucky. I hear you. Steve, let me ask you this, man. I'm one of these guys that just come around to the tournament around March. I'm not even going to pretend like I've been paying attention or I know all of these kids.
Right.
I'm learning them just as America is learning about guys like Lyles and some of the other players. Who's the best player left in this tournament?
There's a lot of good players. I'm going to go with Jalen Brunson for the Nova Nation.
Jalen Brunson from Nova.
Yeah. I think he's tough. He has size. He gets the job done. You know, he shoots the ball well. He gets guys involved. They're doing a good job, man. And they have a really good team, and I think he's the best player on that team. So I definitely have to go Jalen Brunson. That's my pick to win it all, Nova Nation.
That's Jalen Brunson. Now, are we talking, is he an NBA prospect, or you think he, in this tournament, with this team, this setup, he is the best suited to succeed?
I think he's a first-round pick.
Okay.
I think he's a first-round pick.
Now, that's not your Big East bias, is it?
No. Maybe. Not at all. Jalen Brunson, man. Jay Wright is good at what he does, man. And we mentioned this before, but the tournament, you need guard play. And I think Villanova has a great backcourt.
Guard play.
So no bias there. They're good. They're really, really good. I mean, with some of the other teams going now, I think you have to put them as your favorites right now.
Speaking of guard play, Trae Young. We've been hearing the Steph Curry comparisons. I'm going to say this about him. Every time I hear him speak, I like what he says. I remember early in the year, there was a game when he had too many turnovers. He said, you know what, next game, I'm going to be better. Next game, he came out, he was better.
Right.
After they lost the other day, he said, yo, this is the most devastating loss we've experienced. Now, he knows he has the option to go to the NBA, but he was a team guy. Like, yo, right now, my team, my Oklahoma Sooners, my guys, I've been in the trenches, this is the most devastating ever.
Right.
I like that perspective. I like no excuse making. What do you think of him on the NBA level?
I think he'll be great.
I thought the same thing, because I feel like the shooting always translates.
Right.
Ball handling always translates. Then I heard somebody mention a name and I got scared. They said, is he Steph Curry or is he Jimmy Fredette? Like, oh, snap. I forgot about Jimmy.
Shout out to Jimmy in China, man.
Jimmy was supposed to be a can't-miss prospect. He shot the ball 30 feet. That should translate to any league. Steve, what happened? Talk to me about Trae.
You know, Trae Young is a much better passer than Jimmy Fredette. You know, Jimmy Fredette needs a system where he's going to get his shots, put up points. He can hide on defense. I think Trae Young is more like Steph Curry than he is Jimmy Fredette. I'm not going to say he's as good, but he is in that mold of a Steph Curry. He passes the ball really well. He finds his teammates, man. He makes passes above his age, you know. His IQ is really high. He shoots it. He has range. He pushes the ball. He does a lot of good on the court. And when you put him around some pros, he's going to be doing well. He's going to be okay. So I see Trae Young being a borderline all-star someday in the NBA.
What matchup are you looking forward to most this weekend?
Friday, 7:27, we have Villanova playing West Virginia. Two teams that pressure the ball. They shoot the three ball well. They're well coached, and they're rolling. They feel really good. They've been smacking around their opponents. So that's the matchup I'm looking forward to.
Who's been smacking around? Villanova?
Yeah, Villanova, they've been putting beatdowns on people.
West Virginia's bringing that full court press.
Oh, they're going to bring it. But Villanova has guard play. You know, those guys won a championship too, so they have experience. Jalen Brunson is a champion.
Oh, he was on the Villanova team that won a title.
Right. So that's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to that one. Can't miss that one.
The matchup I want to see is Duke versus Syracuse.
Another goodie.
Duke versus Syracuse. How did they pan out this year? I got to look that up. Because, again, Syracuse is in the ACC for whatever freaking reason. But that 2-3 zone can confuse folks. It can cause teams to fall in love with the three. Mm. So yeah. I'm interested to see how Duke is going to handle that. They got the inside presence in Marvin Bagley III, is it?
Yeah. Yep. He's going to be a top pick too.
Now with the 2-3 zone, that leaves you susceptible to getting, allowing the team to offensive rebound a lot.
Right.
So we'll see how that turns out.
That's going to be a good game, man. Bagley, their bigs are good passers, so, and they rebound really well. I think I got Duke coming out of that one, man. Just, I can't. Krzyzewski knows what to do, man. And They're familiar with each other. In a game like that, I got to go with Duke.
Lastly, the Cinderella story of Loyola Chicago. Mm. They've been winning on heroics. They're facing a Nevada team that came back from, what, 20 down versus Cincinnati?
Right.
Loyola could keep it going.
I haven't followed them too much. I mean, I've been, you know, the story. I haven't watched them play, but I followed the story. And that two teams we probably didn't expect to be there. That should be a good game, too. I'm going to go with Nevada, though. That's my pick in that game.
Yo, did you see that Under Armour sent UMBC some Steph Curry sneakers? I think it's Steph Curry 5, some sneakers that were sold out because of their upset victory? Now,
I didn't know that.
Do you think that was sent out of the kindness of their heart or because they know that it would be retweeted and shown and talked about throughout the media?
Marketing. Also, Under Armour, I believe their headquarters is in Maryland.
Yeah, they are. And they sponsor the team.
Right. So, that's marketing.
Everybody's making money around the game except for these kids, D. What do you think?
I don't like that, man. I don't like that. You know why? Because...
But listen, Jarius Lyles, he just played on the world stage. Everybody knows this kid's name now. That's value.
They're exploiting him.
That's value. Even though... Can you imagine his job interview now? He got cool stories. The world knows who you are. You got your pick of the litter, man. You could do what you want. But no, I hear you, man. Everybody.
I think it's wrong, but I don't think there's a one straightforward fix to the situation, you know? So that's just, I mean, what I would suggest is just cut the kids a check when they leave school, whether it be they graduate, they go up to their professional careers, or they transfer. Whenever they leave that school, cut them a check. That's the only thing I can really think of. But, you know, when there's so much money in the game, there's always going to be some corrupt issues coming up.
You see the University of Memphis has a new coach?
Penny Hardaway.
Now, I know you a young guy, Steve. What do you remember about Anthony Hardaway?
He was supposed to be nice. Well, he was nice, but I think his career was cut short.
Am I right? Let me tell you.
You tell me, yeah.
Anthony Penny Hardaway, just signed on to be the coach at the University of Memphis after Tubby Smith was let go. Yo, Anthony Hardaway was one of the realest guards in the league. At a time, he was the best point guard in the league. A league that saw Jason Kidd and Marbury. He was 6'7". So that's tall for a point guard. You know, he was tabbed to be the next Magic Johnson. And for a while, he seemed to be on that pace, scoring 20 points, throwing 8 dimes. He was in Orlando with Shaquille O'Neal. They went to the finals. They got swept by the Houston Rockets. In fact, I like that duo better than Kobe and Shaq.
Really?
Yes. Now, Penny's career was derailed because of injuries. Now, he'll never make it to the Hall of Fame because he doesn't have the longevity. But in his prime, at his healthiest, he was one of the best. One of the best. And even after Shaq left, he had his team number one in the Eastern Conference. Mm. Now, not only did he do it on the court, but y'all want to talk that marketing, y'all want to talk sneaker craze? He had that popping too. He had the little Penny commercials that was hilarious. He had that side of the game as well. Y'all want to talk about phone posits? Guess who the first one was to lace him up?
Penny?
Anthony Hardaway. And the reason I like him being at the University of Memphis, his alma mater, I looked into Penny's past. He got no skeletons, from what I could see. So he would be a great person to head a program that is built to teach young men not only about sports, but life. I know college basketball is getting a bad rap, but really that's what it's about. It's their first step into adulthood. And let me tell you about Penny. Penny was the number one high school player in the country. And his first year at college, he had to sit out because of academic reasons. Now, let me tell you why you don't hear things like that anymore. Because if that kid was ineligible, somebody would have took his SAT for him. Right. Somebody would have forged some grades. But Penny, no, he was the number one player in the country, and then we didn't see him. Because he couldn't play, he had to get his academics right. And he ended up getting on the dean's list. So that's a young man that knows struggle, that knows adversity,
right,
that knows hard work.
Right.
It wasn't given to him. His team didn't try to shop him around and find loopholes. And then, boom, he went on to be the number three pick in the draft, had a great career at Memphis. And we were speaking earlier, when you allow shortcuts for these players, whether it's taking the SATs or paying them under the table, I think it catches up to you eventually.
So it does.
At some point, even if you get the $100 million check in the beginning, at the end of your career, your agent might have robbed you, you might have gotten some bad deals. It always catches up to you. But when you have guys like Michael Jordan, who got cut from his varsity team,
right,
who knows adversity, who knows struggle, who knows what he hard work, those characteristics propel you to the end. And the same with Penny. He had to sit out a year. He worked his ass off. And then you seen him get to the NBA and do great, even after the injuries. You know, when these guys fall from grace, they end up in drugs, they end up in jail. Nah, he stayed on his feet.
Sad stories, yeah.
He stayed on his feet because, again, he had that foundation of, yo, I'm going to control my destiny. I'm not going to let anybody take anything from me. I'm going to work hard for what's mine. And I think that was a great characteristic to instill in these young men. And I think he's the person to do it. And secondly, he was supposed to partner up with Larry Brown. Larry Brown used to coach the Philadelphia 76ers. Most recently, he was at SMU. Now, Penny is a rookie, a novice coach in the college ranks, so he wanted to have an experienced assistant with him. But damn, they got to be better people than Larry Brown. Larry Brown had three stops in the NCAA, UCLA, Kansas, and SMU. All three times, he faced NCAA sanctions. He broke the rules every single time.
Get him out.
Penny, why would you want to bring that guy along with you? And the reason he can't bring him along is because the NCAA said, nah, man, not him. There's got to be a better experienced assistant coach to have on your bench than Larry Brown, man. This guy's got chased away from everywhere he's ever been. He won a championship with the Detroit Pistons. They got him out of here. He was in New York. That was a disaster. Went to the Bobcats. That was a disaster. Time is up on him.
Who do you think is out there that would be a good fit?
I don't know. But I'm tired of guys just recycling names. Go find the next one. Do your work. Do your homework. Take a gamble.
Right.
That's why when the Boston Celtics went into the college ranks and got Brad Stevens, I applauded them. It wasn't just the recycling. No, no, no. Do your research and figure out who these guys are, the characteristics. Find the next Coach K.
Right.
Find the next Tom Izzo. Get creative.
I don't know too much about Penny. I know his career was cut short due to injuries. I know he has the AAU program. So I think that was a good hire because he'll be able to get some guys in. That's his alma mater. It's time for a new face. So Penny, it's his time. It's his time. Memphis is a good school with history. I'm sure he'll be able to get guys to come in. And we'll see them make a noise really soon.
Before we finish out, man, let's jump to the pro ranks for a second. Steve, what do you think's going on, man? What's the professional landscape looking like? The Warriors are battling vicious injuries right now.
They'll be okay.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant.
They're going to be there in the end, man. I don't see any team. Now, granted, they're not at their healthiest right now, but all they care about is playoffs. That's all they care about. And when the playoffs come, I think they have enough power to play for a championship. The Rockets are going to give them hell, but I think the Warriors will prevail out of the Western Conference. And I'm hoping that the Cavs can get it together. I'd like to see Bron bring another one to the city.
Yo, it's crazy that their coach is taking a leave of absence.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue is stepping away from the team because of health reasons.
Right. They said he's been battling that for a while now, and he wanted to stay there. You know, when you're a player, you don't want to sit out and watch your team go to battle. So same thing when you're a coach. You know, you want to be there for your guys.
Yo, I think people don't understand how grueling a professional lifestyle is in professional sports. Having the luxury to travel with professional teams at times, it's tough.
Right.
They at the stadium every day. They at the gym every day. You got a game. Game finished at 11 p.m. We on the flight at 12 a.m. Get to the other city at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Yo, it's a grueling process.
Right.
Now, shout out to Tyronn Lue for acknowledging that he needs to take time away. Because America's a competitive place, man. Cutthroat. Even if you want to step away, you like, damn, my competition ain't. Eric Spoelstra ain't taking time off.
Right.
But we seen the awareness get better over the last couple of years. I remember when Tony Dungy was coaching with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his son had committed suicide.
Wow.
You know, that coaching lifestyle is tough. It comes at a great price. Families get sacrificed, children's neglected, your health. It's not easy. And as of late, after Tony Dungy had that loss, he made a point of emphasis. They tell his assistant coaches, yo, at a certain time, you guys get out of here, go to your family.
Right.
So.
You know, we saw Steve Kerr do it last year. No, he had to take a leave of absence. Yeah, health come first, man. You got to take care of yourself. But it's coaches, they want to be there for their guys.
Right.
That's your family. You know, that's your second family, yeah. But they are family too, and you want to be there because you know you can't always go home to your wife and your kids. They build a rapport with the players. They want to be there. They want to be there. But yeah, shout out to Coach Lou, you know, for taking his time to get his stuff together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yo, Steve, thanks for joining me today.
And thanks for having me here, bro.
You are getting set to head back to China.
Yes, sir.
To give away all of our secrets to the Chinese youth. Yo, Steve, where can the people find you on Twitter?
At Steven_Arzu, A-R-Z-U. That's my handle.
Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N.
Right.
_Arzu, A-R-Z-U.
Right.
Before you get out of here, what's the final four picks looking like?
Ooh. Let me go here. I got Nova winning it all. I don't care.
Yeah, bump it, Nova.
I got Nova winning it all. I don't care who. At this point, man, I just want to watch good basketball. March has been good to us so far, but I got Nova prevailing, holding up the trophy.
All right, man. That's WBH Radio. Catch us every week on 12 Ounce Sports Radio on the TuneIn app. Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. Hit me on Twitter @WBH Radio. We out.